Detroit was once the most prosperous city in America. Where'd the money go? Well, the fall of the Big Three didn't help, but politicians made it worse. They squandered money. Detroit's mayors launched big projects like the People Mover, which turns out to only move people in one direction and not as many as they thought. Then there's the $350 million Renaissance Center and a very expensive jail. And when the money ran out and Detroit started to decay, politicians said things like this.
We shall go forward. Detroit shall again become the great city that is its destiny.
20 years later, Mayor Young was still in office making similar promises.
Detroit is alive and well. We're not coming back. We are back.
And when people criticized him and his fellow politicians, he called the critics racist.
To attack Detroit is to attack black.
That generally shuts people up. And a later mayor and his cronies found new ways to loot the city.
They turned City Hall into a den of bribes and kickbacks, making themselves rich.
What is the issue? Have I violated any rules? And I bet you come up with no.
Actually, a jury eventually came up with yes, convicted him of extortion. He'll be sentenced this fall. Now, there are crooked politicians and politicians who overpromise everywhere, but why is Detroit in the worst shape? Let's ask Chika Dalmia of the Reason Foundation. She lives in Detroit. Darcy Olson runs the Goldwater Institute, a think tank that studies local governments. So, Chika, what happened to your town?
Well, Detroit turned into a one-party town. For 50 years, it's been ruled by one party, which means that, you know, usually you get the evil party checking the stupid party and the stupid party checking the evil party. In Detroit's case, there was no such check, and you got out-of-control spending and corruption and waste.
But I assume they're not dumb. They know that someday somebody has to pay for this.
Yes, they are not dumb. They are just very greedy. Nobody is thinking about the long-term horizon. All they are thinking about is getting re-elected in 4 years and which constituency they need to buy in order to do that. And in Detroit, as all of Michigan, unions, and especially public unions, are extremely strong.
Now, Darcy, you study this around the country. What do cities do that's better?
Well, it's so interesting. Detroit used to be called the Paris of the Midwest. And of course, today, $28,000 debt per person. But it's a tale of two Americas, because you can look to other cities that are operating in the black with cash on hand, award-winning public parks, all kinds of things.
What's the difference?
Well, number one, let's look at Sandy Spring, Georgia. They're called the city that privatized nearly everything. By privatizing garbage, sewer, accounting, back office operations, even the courts, they cut the cost of government in half. And any city in America could benefit from just that one provision.
They have 5 government employees, but things still run well?
Well, when Chika was talking about the strength of the unions, that's something else that Sandy Springs has right. By privatizing all of these services, you don't have the unions. And so they only have 5 government employees there.
And the town it's smaller than Detroit, but still a seventh as big.
Right. I mean, it's 100,000 people. And in fact, there have been 5 more cities to come along and copy this Sandy Springs model.
And while Detroit is, what debt per person did you say?
$28,000 per person.
Sandy Springs?
No debt, operating totally in the black. Their charter requires them to have a cash operating reserve, and that's how they pay for a lot of capital projects.
Now, Chika, your town got into worse trouble because your last mayor was taking money for himself, Kilpatrick. He used city funds to fund junkets, 54 trips, limo rentals, nightclub charges, hired 29 of his closest friends and family for city positions. People didn't notice and scream?
Well, that was not even the worst of it. The worst of it was that he was actually using he was actually receiving kickbacks for funds of his choice to give city contracts to his favorite cronies. It used to be called the Friends and Family Plan in Detroit. So Kwame Kilpatrick used to talk a very good game. He used to talk about bringing all kinds of glitzy development to Detroit, you know, new stadiums, new casinos, new events. And at the same time as he was talking up this big game, he was quietly siphoning the city coffers of money, which is one reason why he left Detroit in a worse financial mess than he found it.
All right, crooks are crooks, but even regular politicians wreck cities.
That's right.
I'm going to confront one of your city council members later on this show. I imagine he'll tell me, look, we want to make it easier for business. We're giving them tax breaks, and they have all these deals if you'll come in. What's wrong with that?
Well, what they are doing is they are giving tax breaks to businesses that they have handpicked. And these are, you know, this is just kind of the mentality of politicians, is they like big, glamorous things. And at the same time as Detroit is subsidizing these big businesses, it is going after non-compliant little mom-and-pop stores that it says are operating illegally.
They have something called Operation Compliance. They brag, we're going to shut down 20 unlicensed businesses every week.
That's right.
But if they're unlicensed, maybe they should shut them down.
Well, you know, these unlicensed businesses are providing vital services to their residents. These are businesses that are, you know, selling cheap tires. They have secondhand appliances. You know, this is a city, understand, that's losing about 300 people every day. Its population has dropped from 2 million to under 700,000 now. This town needs businesses. It needs residents. And taxing them and regulating them is just going to drive more of them out.
Darcy, you list three things that all cities should do. You mentioned privatization. What are the other two?
Well, transparency, which is a big one. Gaithersburg, Maryland has zero debt. They've had zero debt for 40 years. Everything they do, all of these contracts that it took investigative journalists to uncover in Detroit, all of those contracts in Gaithersburg are online. Audits, accounting, budgets,
posted all on the website.
It helps so much. A little bit of sunshine lets people know what's going on, creates a culture of trust, and that's important for getting people to want to invest and come back into a city.
And before a city can get new debt, Goldwater says
voters should have to approve it. Bonds have to go before the voters, and quite often, because the voters are paying the taxes, they say no. So that's a great check on curbing these huge liabilities.
Despite all the debt, Detroit has the third highest income tax of any major city, though after Philadelphia and Louisville, which aren't doing that great either. But Detroit is in the worst shape.
Well, you know, Detroit even taxes the utility bills of its residents. I think it might be the only city that does that. It has property taxes, it has business taxes, and it has utility taxes.
Thank you, Shika. Thank you, Darcy. Coming up, a libertarian has a plan to turn part of Detroit into a mostly government-free zone. Will that work? And I'll confront that politician who won't cut. But next, the main reason Detroit's broke.